All right, Leaf Nation, we're off and running during your 2025 Stanley Cup playoffs. Toronto Maple Leafs with a 6-2 victory. Mitch Marner, 3 points. Two of those points coming off a red-hot power play. And this is your Leaf edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne. Sammy McKee, a very laid-back, relaxed Sammy McKee. Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours as we sprint towards a Stanley Cup final. All right, boys. Sammy.
A Stanley Cup final?
I think it just means our show.
The Stanley Cup final.
The show is.
It's a sprint.
The Leafs hour.
For the show.
Holy smokes.
Right?
I thought you were playing in the parade all of a sudden.
Did I mention that the Leafs are going to the Stanley Cup final, or do I say it's a sprint towards the Stanley Cup final?
Gotcha. Just we're in the Leafs hour, and it's just.
How do you go from like this confident to mere 20 minutes before puck drop texting us that you're really nervous?
Weren't you guys nervous?
Yeah, really nervous is not how I would describe myself, okay. But I was just anxious to like see what it was going to look like.
That's exactly right. Like, I would say that I've felt more confident this year than in years past, definitely. Yeah. It's clearly a cautious optimism when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, yeah, I think 30 minutes before any puck drop for any big playoffs, it's always so funny. Like, if a team goes on a long run and the first game seems so consequential, it's like just such a huge thing. And then if they go on a run, you think back to it, it's like, who'd they play in the first round? Like, it's like it's so inconsequential at the end of it. But the lead up feels so good. So I loved it.
But it did feel differently because this wasn't Toronto-Tampa. It wasn't Toronto-Florida. It was not Toronto-Boston. Mm-hmm. It was a division winner versus a wild card team. It last night played out the way it was supposed to play out.
And that's the most shocking thing of all. Yeah. Right?
Craig Berube hockey.
No, not shocking. It's the way it should work.
It's the way it should work, but I would say if you followed this team for the last 8 years, and you have, when they're supposed to do things easily, they don't.
I don't know how much how easily it should have been in the past, though.
Because Columbus better than them? Was Montreal better than them? Up 3-1?
Yeah, pandemic crapola.
Okay, I'm glad we can strike those from the record.
Didn't count.
I think there have been other times where we've looked at the Leafs and said, they should have this here. They should be able to handle their business, and they haven't. So if you don't want to call it shocking, I'm fine with calling it.
It's pleasantly surprising.
Yeah, is
that okay for you?
Sure. Just everything, when you were thinking of this as a Leafs fan, and you constructed the worst-case scenarios and the best-case scenarios. We did that with Luke Fox. That was the best-case scenario. Everything you hoped it could be, the Ottawa looks inexperienced and their goaltending struggles, the power play for the Leafs is hot, the core four is good, the goaltending is good. It went exactly best-case scenario for the Leafs,
which
is amazing.
I definitely went into that game thinking there was a potential for that to happen. I believe we had multiple off-air conversations just being like, could they just win 6-2 and just beat them and not have to really sweat this thing out for the first game and going into 2 days of talking about, oh my God, they lose game one. They did what they were supposed to do in the first game, like you said, as a division winner versus a wild card. But you could also understand if it went the other way, how that would have been expected. So it was a great mental health win for Leafs Nation. to start it off.
If by chance Ottawa... What you're telling me is if Ottawa would have found a way to win last night, it would have been like...
Panic mode. No questions. And I want to sit here and say that I wouldn't be, but I think all of Leafs Nation would have been full panic mode.
If it's a split, it's still a better split than if you lose game one, win game two for you?
I think that's a good question, actually. I think it's philosophical. No, because if you... I mean, this is a weird conversation to be having today, but... Mm-hmm. If you lose the first one and then are facing the potential of going down 0-2, going to another building versus winning the first one and losing the second one, I think it's a completely different feeling. But we talked about this a bit. The way it'll feel really different is if they follow up last night with another big one on Tuesday going into Ottawa up Tuesday.
So eight playoff runs for this Core Four era. They've lost the first game, game one, six times. They've won it twice. Both times they won it, they went out and lost the next game. 7 of 8 of those years, they've been 1-1 after two.
All right.
They got the chance to make a difference.
Wow. All right, before we dive into game two, let's get Craig Berube's thought and overview of what he saw opening up the Stanley Cup playoffs for his hockey club.
Yeah, physical. We were physical in the first period, I thought. They were too. I mean, it's physical, and it's going to be physical, and I thought that we did a good job of, you know, controlling our emotions and playing through it. You have to, and yeah, so I, like I said, it's going to be a battle, and it was.
All right, let's talk about that start, because it was physical. There's no question. The Leafs answered the bell, I thought, tremendously. It just felt from the opening puck drop right through to that 5-7 minute mark, the guys were trying to get nice licks on, right against each other.
Yeah. You watched from home last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple times, maybe I saw a little headhunting as well. Mm-hmm. Just some.
From the Leafs?
Both yeah. sides. Yeah. I thought they were taking healthy runs at each other.
For sure.
And I think it may have played into a few calls later on. I really thought that the officials tried to kind of keep them in check and reel them in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wasn't too thrilled with some of the calls for Ottawa's side. And no question that some of the decisions that they made, particularly Ridley Gregg's, was just dumb. Just a dumb decision to get your stick that high. But outside of that, some of those calls were a little questionable for me.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if the Leafs will ever get 6 power plays, no matter if they end up playing for another month and a half or 2 months. Mm-hmm. I just think it was the officials' way of pulling a few things in.
Yeah, you know, I thought the calls were the calls, and the refs, by and large, got it right. The one thing to me is, like, that's not that close a hockey game for me. Like, you know, I understand that it is a talking point around this game, but, you know, they win by 4, no empty netter. To me, you take away a penalty here or a penalty there, that to me is not.
Well, 3 power plays are a difference maker in the game.
For sure. For sure they are. I mean, like I said, if you want to take a goal or two off the board because you want to take 2 penalties away from them, that's okay.
Yeah.
I still think you
got a 4-2 game. Well, it has a lot to do with momentum and a carry-on as well. Like, the Stutzel on Tanev, the best way I can describe it is if I saw that penalty call in the Four Nations, I would have had a problem with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe early in a series.
But we see this every year, Kip, with the officiating.
No, for sure.
Every first round, the refs are as just as horned up as the players
only
are.
Only to game 4 or so.
But we see this every single year, and I know that the refs are a talking point, but the Ottawa Senators were not prepared for the playoff officiating. They were not prepared. They were taking stupid penalties.
They were
undisciplined, and they took penalties. They did them, and they got called, sure. Leafs got a good whistle. I won't sit here and disagree, but they did a bunch of dumb stuff that got penalized.
As advertised, young and inexperienced, and it completely showed.
And I would say, you know, how nice for the Leafs that when someone opens the door for you, they stepped through. You know, this was not a Boston series last year where they go 1-for-21. They go 3-for-6, so, you know, triple their playoff output last year in a single game. And I think that's a good sign for them going forward, that if Ottawa becomes wary of this power play and says, hey, they can burn us, we got to be a little bit more careful, maybe that creates a little bit of room at 5-on-5, and that's to the credit of the success the Leafs had last
night. All right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the officiating.
Goodbye.
Penalties are penalties. Like I said, we're disciplined. We're going to keep being disciplined. We're going to play hard between the whistles the right way and keep being physical, but we're not going to get involved in all the antics after the whistles or whatever. Listen, that's, you know, refs call games, they call penalties for whatever reasons. I mean, I thought we checked well with our feet and our sticks tonight. We were hard at our net, doing things right to stay out of the box. You know, you put yourself in the penalty box when you, you know, get on the wrong side of things and have to make desperate situations. And like I said, we're pretty clean overall with our physicality part of the game. And we got to keep doing that.
Yeah.
And that is experience talking right there.
I mentioned this last night at Leafs Talk. I'll say it to you. It looked like the Sens were a team playing what they thought playoff hockey was versus the Leafs playing actual playoff hockey. Where Stutzla's running around like, you know, he's
Said, pointed out last night he had 9 hits last night. It's like, that's he's looking not like, what we need out of you.
You're not Mike Pekka, buddy. Like, you don't need to run around like you're chicken with your head cut off out there.
Appreciate that.
It felt like there was guys in the Sens that were playing out of character because they were playing what they thought playoff hockey was, and they were just undisciplined. Like, outside of the Stutzla one, which, sure, you can quibble with it. Yeah. He caught him in the numbers, pushed him towards the glass. I can understand why they called it. Was there more of them that you didn't like? Like, I thought they were all penalties.
The 5-on-3 was a little suspect, the shove on Matthews. To go 5-on-3? Yeah, to go 5-on-3, I'm sorry.
You're looking to zag here. Like, that's a cross check in the back into the glass.
This is Stanley Cup playoffs, bud, okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but, like, not for me. Not for me this time of year to go 5-on-3, 4-on-3, yes, but 5-on-3.
So.
Not enough. But that's okay. If that's the way you want to start out early, maybe send a message. I'm okay. Game one, game two, game three. You want to get into game 5, 6, and 7 throughout the playoffs for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see something a little bit more vicious than that to go 5-on-3.
You know, as a team, you can control what you can control. And I thought that Matthew Zone's actually a great example of a guy who is trying to hang on to the puck and maintains possession, and he's coming up with the puck. You know, it's not like a lay it out, trying to draw a call sort of thing. So if they call that, great. And then they go ahead and bury one right away. Yeah. Like, in terms of controlling their end of it, I mean, full marks for the Leafs on that.
Oh, listen, and they're world class. We know it. And if Ottawa wants to even, it's the putting yourself in a position to do it that often is your biggest culprit. Not whether or not the official actually calls it or not or lets it slip. That's a 50-50 sometimes, but Ottawa put themselves in positions where they just...
For sure. You leave it up to the discretion of the ref.
You just didn't have to maybe go that extra mile, and they did, and that's, in many ways, inexperience.
What I like about a lot of this is the way this sets up Ottawa to be like, okay, we need to be aggressive, but we can't be too aggressive. Like, it's all, you know, we talk about an inexperienced team, and now it's like they're getting lectured for that was too much. Like, they're really going into game two now, like, trying to feel things out a little bit. And I like that there's a lot of reasons I think Ottawa would have challenges with the way that game went. Are we sure we can trust our goaltending? Are we sure that we're able to be physical? How much pressure can we put? Like, they're in a weirder spot now.
While we're still on a roll on this, you want to just get the cross check out of the way?
What? Oh, well, get it out of the way. Everybody wants to get it out of the way. It doesn't get mentioned. It's like a ghost in the night. Like,
it's actually
this is cross-checking.
One of the dirtiest guys in the league hammers one of the least best players with a targeted cross check to the throat. Doesn't get mentioned on the broadcast, doesn't get mentioned by the league, doesn't get mentioned. It's like a ghost. If the situation was reversed and John Tavares cross checked Ridly Gregg, the first thing we would come, how many games is it going to be for John Tavares? How many games? Like, that's all anyone would talk about. It's a cross check in the mouth.
I don't think
it's the exact same thing Matthews did to Dahlin. Exactly the same play. Worse. It was downhill in the mouth. Like,
little Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
Right?
How many games did he get for that? Let me check. Oh, 1, 2, 3. Five?
Five.
And we don't even mention it.
I would say
that was a piss poor call on Morgan Riley.
You thought that was too much?
Oh, my God.
Buddy, go back and watch that. It's good.
He earned all five. All 100%. He chased.
Too severe.
So either way, I thought Gregg last night, he cross-checks a guy in the head, trying to cross-check him in the head. I'd be fine with that being a game. I didn't like it. At least a major.
Okay, but like,
anyway.
Or mentioned by someone the next day, like, oh, he's got to get a fine.
$5,000.
Or like a hearing.
A fine. I'll give you a fine. It's $5,000. Sure.
Can somebody from the league acknowledge that one of the dirtiest guys in the league cross-checks someone in the mouth, or we don't get to do that?
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thought. Clip 6 on the cross-check.
How surprised were you to see the cross check on Tavares get reduced down to a minor?
That's not my call. It's not my call. That's not my call. I mean, the referees and the league will look at things and make the calls they make. We're not going to focus on that. We got to focus on what we need to do the next game, okay? You know, it's the same as, like, you know, I thought they made some attempts at our goalie and sliding into him and things like that, but that's not for us to worry about. We got to focus on playing, and we got to focus on ourselves and what we need to do. The league will look after that stuff.
God, that's good coaching.
It's great.
That's so good.
It's great. I'm okay with a two-minute minor. I am, because I'll tell you why. Because
so
between
he can stay in
now,
the game and run the goalie and score a goal, is that why?
Between now and what you hope might be 6 or 8 weeks for the Toronto Maple Leafs, someone's going to do something in that family, and you want the same standard. Mm-hmm. And I would be the first one to tuck that episode in my back pocket when I need it.
Because there
will be a Maple Leaf, someone, Max. Nice. Somebody will be flirting in that regard, and I just want the same standard.
Yeah, you're going to have a phone call, and you're going to go, I'm sorry. If he's not getting one, we're not getting one.
Let's go. Yeah. We're fine. Let the guys play,
All right, put it in
Sammy.
The pocket.
Let them play.
Carry it around.
You're painting me into Johnny Etobicoke corner here.
Let them play,
like,
Sammy. A man's game right now.
Let's talk about the hockey game.
It's game one of the playoffs, and I'm already homer mode. But, like, I would love to believe that's the case. But the history of the suspensions with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that will not be the case.
Let's get Travis Green on the penalties. Do you want to hear what his
game
was? Yes. Okay, let's talk clip two, Greener.
We definitely have to stay out of the box. I'll say that. You know, at the end of the game, sometimes things are going to get a little out of hand once in a while. I thought there was a couple calls that they did a good job selling. But it's tough. It's tough on the refs. But we can't take that many penalties for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
He knows.
Well, yeah. And should we also do his overview while we're on Green, or do we want to stick with the penalty?
For sure.
No, he's got some good
Let's
ones.
Let's get clip one.
I thought maybe the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, we're a little nervous, which is probably to be expected. Got a lot of guys that haven't played in the playoffs. But 5-on-5, I liked our game.
I think there's a lot of people.
You think he's overselling 5-on-5?
I think if you're a Leafs fan, it's delightful to hear. I think you love hearing what used to be you on the other side going, we controlled the deserve to win-o-meter. The Leafs lead that game by 2+ goals for 40+ minutes.
Yeah.
They're not pushing, you know? So whatever the numbers say at that point to me is, and that's something a good analytics person would dip through and go, okay, well, we can't trust this score effects.
Yeah.
You know, we played a different sort of game. So yes, I thought they controlled more of the play than the Leafs after the first period, but the Leafs were playing for something different. Protecting a lead. So
which
go ahead, have your 5-on-5 trophy.
Which they have been very good at, right?
Other team having the puck.
They're built for protecting leads, especially in the third. They've been real solid in that capacity, and it's led by Stolarz.
It is funny. Like, I'm like, I recognize that. The Ottawa Senators fans on my Twitter, like, I recognize pulling up the charts and pulling up the referee stuff. That used to be me. I did that. I've done that for 8 years. Be like, oh, well, the deserve to win. Oh, they have the better. They have the puck more. They have more shots. It's like, doesn't always translate. Mm-hmm. And it feels like they're going to be doing a lot of that.
Yeah.
Where Leafs have played like this all year, where they've had the puck less. They've played like this. It looked a lot like a lot of regular season games.
The end of the day, the Leafs have more guys who can score, who can shoot it into the net than Ottawa does. And so they're going to get less or need less opportunities. And so for Ottawa, that's the big ask is, can you sneak a few by a goaltender who, you know, didn't give many freebies last night?
And that was the case last night on Anthony Stolarz. Let's get Craig Berube's thought on his number one goalie.
Well, he had to make some huge saves, I thought, in the second period after we had the 5-on-3. They had three really good opportunities after that. When it became 5-on-5, he made big saves. Thought he was solid. very solid tonight.
Hey, one guy scores on a breakaway and the other guy doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2-2 with Brady Tkachuk. And that save, who knows what it would have felt like at 2-2 at that point.
Right after the breakaway, I think Pinto gets one on the back door that he hangs on to.
Clear in the slot all day long.
Yeah, and then Stützle gets another one in the period where he gets the butt end of it. Like, you know, there were some real saves to keep it from becoming a much closer, scarier game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Leafs go down, handle their business, shoot another one in, and then it kind of
has been a similar look for multiple games all season long.
Yeah.
And it's just a reality now that we're expecting those saves now out of Stolarz. And if I only had one knock against him, it outside of the first goal with the rebound, there was a couple other rebounds that he needs to tighten up on, but it didn't really matter last night because he made those saves that frustrate the crap out of an opposition.
Clutch saves.
Yeah, and that starts to wear on shooters, you know, and guys when they can't break through and they feel like you need the perfect shot. You know, and there's sometimes you can see his size come into it. I think Batherson hit his shoulder, came down to his shoulder, posted out, and it's like, he's not 6'7". If he's 6'5", it's a goal. But he is 6'7", and he uses that body extremely well.
On that, the Pinto one, he just literally was shooting at a brick wall.
There was no...
He just came out aggressive, and he's huge. There's no space. There was just nothing. He shoots it right into
There's no holes.
Yeah. Right in his breadbasket because there's just nothing to shoot at. So he was excellent. But I agree. There's a couple greasy rebounds here and there that he has to clean up. But for the most part, I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah,
so.
And then on the other side...
Oh, boy.
We've seen a couple of stretches during the regular season where Allmark was all world.
Yep.
Right, I think there was one at Christmas where I think he went 7-0 with a 963 save percentage. It was like scary.
In the year, there's another.
And then there was another one in March.
Yeah.
And then he was not very good to finish the season.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, they're done. They're done in four games if this guy does not up. Oh, but he was horrible. Like, they're down 2-0 on four shots.
Yeah.
They're chasing.
And that probably doesn't count the Yarncroc off the post that spun on the goal line.
You're going nowhere if this guy doesn't step up.
For sure. But I'm four games is, would never say that. But if he plays like that, the Leafs should win the series. But he was a big reason why they lost last night. Maybe
would go as far to say with Allmark last night, he didn't let any muffins in, but he just didn't give him the save. Like, this kind of, it doesn't kiss the post.
That's the Oliver Ekman Larson. You got to get a piece of that.
Yeah.
That cannot beat you clean.
But it is one of those ones, Kip, where it's a shot uncontested from between the hash marks. Like, it's a good scoring spot, but I agree. He doesn't get a piece of it. The other one is
this one. He had no chance on Matthew Nyes. Marner's move will beat 99% of any goalie on the planet.
Not on the hook for that one.
And
Willie off the faceoff, you might want him to get a piece of that.
A piece.
Too.
Yeah. Just not clean. Just
need a save.
Just get a piece of it. He's coming out. You know he's a shooter. Be big.
Yeah.
Just be big.
I think that one, Matthews being cocked, probably has him pushing Matthews. Or...
He was looking for that one.
He was tickling the rafters.
Yeah, he was.
That's Decoy City.
He was. Do you have any Allmark sound?
We have two clips on the goaltending. We have one from the coach, which is a hilarious exchange with a reporter. I'm not sure who it was. Let's play the Travis Green clip. Clip three on Allmark.
Is it a little disheartening to have to work as hard as you did to generate the chances that you generated, and then sort of see it be a little leaky on the other side?
What are you saying?
In the room is. Your goaltending, I think.
I like her goaltending. I like our goalie a lot. He's a good goalie. He's one of Vezina. He's pretty good. There's no elephant in the room, in our room.
That's great by Green, right? He's got to go out there and throw himself on that grenade.
And then...
Oh, this is uncomfortable.
And then play the Allmark clip in there, Derek.
How did you feel about your game tonight?
Yeah, it's all right.
know, there's some things, there's some, you know, there's a high skill team on the other side. And like I said, we're just going to have to refocus on the next one. You know, it's just one game. That's the beauty of it. Doesn't matter how you play one game and you lose it. You can lose 1-0. It's still going to be a loss. So it's just have a mind of a goldfish. Go out there and play a game two and a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. Know what's going to happen, how it's going to be, and how intense it's going to be. And then try to do the same thing again.
Light and fluffy.
I really don't want the Sens fans to be printing the mind of a goldfish t-shirt where he turns it around after that game. But
he would kind of drive me crazy if I had him as a teammate.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You didn't like that clip.
Okay, it's just... Okay, the goldfish part, you know, it's fine as long as you're not my goldfish curled up at the top of the surface and I got to flush you down the toilet, okay? First, let's start there.
Yeah.
Just don't end up being curled up at the end of the series, that's right. All right?
Yeah.
And number two, I'm not saying that you got to be hard on yourself, and I'm not saying, and we experienced that, you know, through our covering the Leafs over the years with Jack Campbell and Samsonov, where it's like, buddy, don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
But it's okay to say
look,
five simple words. I need to be better.
Yeah.
It's okay to treat it like you just finished a walk in the park and it doesn't really matter. And it's like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
If I'm the Ottawa Senator players, I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely something between what we just listened to and Jack Campbell that you could maybe find the happy medium a little bit on.
Right.
Like his tone just there is
something
a little too bubbly after the way he
just
played.
Take a little bit more ownership, bud. You gave up 2 goals on 4 shots.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. And the building was rocking. Give him credit. That first one goes in, and I don't know, the Leafs tweeted out a video from one of the, I don't know what angle they have. Their social media is just out of control, how good their angles and all the camera stuff. But there's one that's just like in the crowd, sort of on the normal shot. And when that Oliver Ekman-Larsson goal goes in, boy, that is a real Montreal-esque crowd pop. Yeah. So hopefully that crowd keeps going like that, because that was a really good one last night. Congrats to Leaf fans for actually being there.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of suits.
No, it was great. You know, I think a lot of the Leafs offense last night, you know, one guy probably not getting enough credit, Matthew Nyes, I thought was chaotic around the net. And that OEL goal, if you watch that one, it's actually Lawton makes the play, yeah. But it's Lorenz who drags D with him and creates room. There's the Nyes creates some room on a couple of their goals. Just they had someone at the net
to create space.
Tavares goal.
Nyes needs to be a handful in front of the net. We saw his power play goal. I didn't think it was a standout game for Matthew Nyes at any stretch. But then you look at Matthews and Marner ends up with 3 points, but 2 of them are on the power play. And, you know, where are you on their 5-on-5 play overall? The one thing, and I've stressed this with Marner, but, you know, and I'll include Austin Matthews in it as well, is that, you know, there are many face-offs.
Yeah.
They're starting in their own zone.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting as many offensive zone draws as Tavares, and that's explainable.
Like, yeah, that's use the guys.
You don't want Tavares to skate 200 feet to get to the net.
They're way better defensively.
And they are very good defensively.
They get sometimes leaned on.
Yes, and sometimes people are all over him because the offense isn't there, or they've got to skate 200 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Nate McKinnon doesn't do defensive zone faceoffs.
No, it's heavy lift for sure.
Winnipeg's Mark Scheifele probably very dominant in the offensive zone faceoffs. He's got Lowry to take those big draws, but Matthews and Marner are leaned on heavily in the defensive zone, and it matters on the offense.
Of course, and this is a good example. You know, wonderful play here.
Great pass.
But that does come off a D-zone faceoff. Actually, they're in the D-zone. This is actually a really interesting play because Marner went low and covered for Matthews, played D on this shift, and he calls for a switch. Matthews is actually in the midst of switching back to playing center when he catches that puck and makes that pass. So he knows exactly where Marner's going in the line he's on. That's why he's able to make that play so quick, and Marner's able to pull away the way he was.
Yeah.
Great communication, great D-zone play. last night on Leafs
Talk. They were brilliant in their dome.
They were really good. There's one with like 10 minutes left. Yeah. We clip. Marner goes bit down, puts a body on someone, wins a puck. They get out. Matthews pokes Stützle in the slot. Like, I understand it's a big lift. They're good at it.
And let's make no mistake about it. It was Matthews shutting down Stützle. It wasn't the other way around last night in game one.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it on purpose. Like, they're actually using those guys like they would a Barkov or a...
And I don't mind it at all. Mm-hmm. And is it going to cost Matthews maybe goals and chances and ultimately points? Yes. But I've been on this for a lot of years.
Sure. Like,
to me, he's always looked like a winger. Mm-hmm. Now he's starting to look like a real centerman for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Okay. And has it cost him offense? Yes. But he's acting now like a number one centerman, in my opinion. And lo and behold, he can pass a puck.
I know people are trotting out the shot attempts when their line was on the ice at 5-on-5. I think either 6-4 and 22 against, or say it was really lopsided. But again,
really?
Yeah. But in the first period, when they're playing 5-on-5, it's pretty darn good. They go up 2-0 7 minutes into the period or something like that. It just changes. They're playing a top line. They're packing it in. They're not taking chances. Yes, it can be better. Yes, it should be better.
Mm.
But I'm not that stressed out about that.
No, I'm not.
Game.
I'm not either. In many ways, I like Matthews' game better than I have in a long, long time.
And it's funny, too, because I feel – it's funny because we're on the opposite sides, where I feel better about Marner's game, where I felt like he was active and pushing the pace. And, you know, I just
– starting to take – how many times have we seen him – on breakaways lately, mm-hmm. right? Before it was never.
Yeah.
It was always Nylander kind of
breakaway
sniffing.
Yeah.
And now they got a little unpredictability.
Nyes helps them in a lot of ways. I agree that Nyes wasn't fantastic, but he was good enough.
So, but to your defensive zone draw thing, you know, there's not, you hope that this Lawton, Lorenz,
Yarncroft
line
to get to that.
Can look like it did last night for a stretch of games where you can start to trust them a little bit more in the defensive zone. Because there was a couple times, like, I don't know at what point of the game, it was in the third, where the third, or Robertson and had to end up taking a defensive zone draw because they had Domi, Robertson, and, or it was Holmberg they had out there. Mm-hmm. But it's like, that's a third period defensive zone draw line in the playoffs. Like, you're worried about that a little bit. So if Lawton can continue to grow, it just, there's not a ton of options for them, Kip. They have...
No.
If you're the coach, who the hell are you going to send out there? It's probably going to be the two elite forwards that can win a draw and get the puck out for you.
It used to be Kampf.
You know.
Yeah, and that's, at the end of the day, he's not going to trust Lawton out there against Kachuk, Stützle, and Claude Giroux or Batherson. No. I don't think, anyways. Mm-hmm. He's going to want his best out there.
It is interesting, though. So Scott Lawton joined March 8th. And he never played 15 minutes in a game until April 13th. And then he played 15 minutes again, April 20th.
Yeah.
And then last night he plays 15 and a half or almost 16.
Yeah.
He was sixth. There was the top five forwards that you know who they are. And then it was Lawton last night.
A big thing for them too last night. It wasn't overly taxing. They never chased Ottawa on the scoreboard. They went up 4-1. You could roll lines.
No D played 20.
You're munching minutes at that point.
Sanderson played 27.
It's a perfect night for Toronto, not leaning heavily on anybody in particular.
Yeah.
But that's what a 4-1 lead does for you.
For sure. There's a lot of being on the other side of this where you look at that side and Klevin and Mazzanpaolo both played 11 and change.
Mm.
You know, and Chabot and Sanderson play 26 and change. And it's like, not how you want it to look.
No.
Anyway, we should...
Okay, let's take a quick break. Plenty more to dissect out of this game one as well. Sammy, why are you looking at me with puppy dog eyes?
No, I'm just sitting here.
Okay. All right, we're good.
It's just how I look, buddy.
I know that smile anywhere. All right, plenty more when we return on the Leafs, Ottawa, game one.
The best Blue Jays show out there, period. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Hour edition of our program. Our very own Elliot Friedman is reporting that the Seattle Kraken are making a coaching change. We'll get more into that in our national hour.
Mm.
Do we have hot to? Hot cracking info.
But do we have to?
Yeah.
Okay. We're
okay. NHL national show.
I know. Just, there's lots. I mean, there's
love
so
affair
many.
For the Leafs. Like,
well, we could do a great show in our national hour on stuff that's happening not in the playoffs.
Truly.
Like the Red Wings captain buried Steve Yzerman in the press. Jim Rutherford's tampering. Like, we could have done a whole hour on stuff.
Not, let's go. Honestly. Seriously. Yeah.
Screw the playoffs.
What a news day.
Drama.
It's huge. Yeah. It's an absolute huge news day.
But it's Leaf time.
Yeah.
But it's Leaf time. Where do you want to go on the Ottawa Senators?
It's, you know, every playoff series has a few key characters, and we're really shaping up for Ridly Gregg to be a real factor here.
I enjoyed his whoopsie fall into Stolarz, which looked like it hurt the goalie. By enjoyed, I mean, like, that's a, he knows what he's doing. Smart.
What were the Leafs up? Were they up 5-2 at that point?
Put the shoulder down on Marner and tried to cut in.
As soon as he dropped the shoulder, if I'm Marner, I'm like, pull the shoot. Get out of the way. Let him cut across the net.
Have one.
The first thing I said is, I don't know if he's going to get up.
It was a bad one.
Yeah.
It was really sneaky, dirty. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it was sneaky at all. Like, he's a good skater. There was no stick.
He
was
hit well. You can disguise it well. Cutting into the goalie
you
like
that.
You can't
prove he did that on purpose.
Hold on.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
Who is disguising that he did that on purpose?
He did.
No, he didn't. He did that on purpose. He obviously did that on purpose.
I'm telling you, we know that.
Yeah, but he didn't hide it from anyone.
He's allowed to try to drive the net.
You can drive to the net, buddy.
Sure.
You can lose an edge and go hard into a goalie.
For sure.
It's a hockey play.
I agree.
But your point that Marner could have been like red carpet, go ahead and have the shot might have been the only thing to do because otherwise.
You want him suspended for that too?
No, but I wouldn't mind the cross-checking the jibs to be a suspension. And he scores a goal in this game and he's made it to Leafs practice. All the Leafs reporters are asking. You know, they asked Nyes about him. They asked Berube about him. We could play the clip. Let's play
clip 8.
Yeah, Berube on Ridly.
I think it's annoying seeing Greg, you know, the cross check to Tavares, the slide into Stolarz. What's the key to dealing with this guy? Because the guys are going to want to retaliate as this goes on.
Are they?
Human nature. Maybe they won't. Yeah. Maybe they won't.
Well, no. And you're right. That's, you know. That's part of playoff hockey. I mean, that stuff's going to happen, and you gotta be disciplined as best you can. And going to keep preaching it. The league, the referees, they'll take care of that stuff. That's your job.
And let's carry it on to a player. Let's get Matthew Nye's thoughts there. Nye's clip one.
And Greg then slides into Anthony at the end, maybe accidentally on purpose. What's the key to dealing with this guy? Because you're going to want to retaliate, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely annoying. I think we're going to play hard on him and not make it easy for him, you know, the rest of the way.
Listen.
I hate this guy.
That is a good answer, isn't it? Yeah, he's annoying.
This is all off of Craig Berube and what he's preached all year. Mm. And it's, if you're the league right now who has to handle all the crap, right? Mm. On any given night of a series, and these guys get calls from general managers to owners after every game.
Really?
All the time.
Really?
All the time. Okay? And now you're the league and you're listening to Craig Berube and some of the players and let the league look at, like, that's what you want to hear from a league. And you can't tell me that it's like getting good behavior points.
Yeah.
Right? It's like,
it should help them at some point.
You stock up enough and you hope that it comes back to you one day.
You know what's funny?
One game.
Is like, you can see what Ridly Gregg is trying to do and what he is, and he's an effective player, but he's not Matthew Tkachuk, right? Matthew Tkachuk's like the top tier of what Ridly Gregg wants to be.
Yeah.
And Gregg's not quite there. He doesn't quite have the juice. They're going to need more from Brady Tkachuk, who I don't think he'll go all series like this, but I thought he had a quiet night. Everyone was telling us how he was going to decapitate someone and, you know, the whole series, he's the best player in the series, I heard people say.
You did?
Oh, yeah, I did. Mental thing to say. But, like, even if you think he was going to be the difference maker for Ottawa, quiet night for him, I thought.
Very much so.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like he cannot carry himself like a true game breaking kind of guy with ultimate skill. Like, he's gonna run over you, man. Right. He's gonna get to the net. He's gonna hurt you. But I don't know in terms of the breakaway too. Like, well, the breakaway. Like, think about Mitch Marner's move, mm-hmm. and think about Brady Tkachuk's move, and how kind of that skill set just can't get to that same spot.
And that essentially, right? is the point I made in the first half of the show. But what separates these teams?
So how much of a factor can he be in ultimately changing the course of a game, other than like going through you?
Yeah. And he threw some hits. He didn't say he played bad. He just wasn't.
He was great at Four Nations, but yeah. like a lot of things have to go right for him to shine with his skill.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the case last night.
No, he's going to score. Like, the puck's going to fall on a stick. He's going to be around the blue paint. He's going to knock guys over. But it doesn't feel like the series is obsessing over him the way I thought that maybe it would. After, it's just been one game, but that's an early returns on that. I thought Oliver Ekman-Larsson was really good last night. I don't know where he was in terms of overall D, but he's got that grease, you know, that he's jawing at guys. They're annoyed at him.
I think his experience last year in Florida has really helped him understand this time of year.
How about Stolarz, Lorenz, and OEL? Were all great last night.
Yeah.
Three Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah.
And he played, I think he played just over 17 minutes, which, if you're drawing up how much Oliver Ekman-Larsson's going to play in a playoff game, you want it right around there. Because I think you go back to when they won last year, I think he was around 15, 16 in a night during that playoff run. That's, for me, a sweet spot for him.
Yeah.
And he shoots it in the net. It's a big goal. You probably want it from Allmark a little bit, but he's not afraid to mix it up. You know, he trips Stützle on the cut to the net. Flies through the air like a trapeze artist. I don't know if that's a thing, but looks like he was.
Sounds right.
He dove through the air, but he was good. He had that right amount of grease.
Only a couple guys on the Leafs that they didn't think had great nights. The other D, Riley, I didn't think was. I know everyone.
Well, the giveaway was a tough one. That would have been really tough on Morgan if Brady would have scored.
Yeah, that makes it 2-2. I just thought he was okay. Some tough gaps for me where he's too deep.
Even the first goal there, I mean, he's got to play
a stick
tighter, harder, just a little too soft in front.
Well, you know, it's
on a loose rebound.
I was actually thinking, if that's almost any other of the Leafs D, I don't think it's a goal. Whether Benoit, you know, Tanev, Carlo, whoever, they're just harder in front of the net. So at least he got one, hopefully gets feeling good about himself. And then Holmberg went up and played with Tavares and Nylander once the lead was more comfortable.
Stayed there at practice today.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I think that's going to be a thing he goes to more.
You're not expecting any changes for game two, are you?
Well, there is the line change that Holmberg's up, Domi's back with the...
No, I'm talking about personnel.
Like, how long do you want to keep Kampf out, who, you know, pretty effective guy? But that fourth line, who you're not taking out Lawton, Lorenz, or Yarncroc. No. Yarncroc.
I'm looking at Ottawa's fourth line, and I'm like, they can't do what Leafs' fourth line is doing right now.
Yeah, they had Highmore in over Cousins, which I didn't think was a good call. Not nearly as impactful. Wasn't great on the PK where he's supposed to be good.
I wonder if it was more maybe his knee.
Cousins.
Yes.
Oh. That would then, be preferred for the
Then it was a coach's decision. I'm wondering if it was more health-related because he did miss close to the back half of the season with a knee injury.
Right.
Maybe he's having a few issues there, maybe. Another day of rest.
If I'm an Ottawa and the part of the coaching staff, I don't know if you have an undisciplined game where you take a bunch of stupid penalties and it ends up costing you, that – your dice move should be inserting another guy that's like about could potentially do that. So it might have actually hurt his chances to play in game two, the way that one played out. But usually after a loss, coaches are pretty quick to make a lineup change. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him. But if it's injury related, you'd get that too.
Do you want to hear Berube on moving Max down to the third line playing center?
Yeah.
Let's do that. Clip 7 from Berube, please.
Not much. He just, you know, Max good about playing wherever, wing, center. He's done both all season, and it's an easy switch for him, you know. I mean, it's not that much of a conversation, to be honest with you. He's good with whatever we need.
Well, all right then.
You know, just one last thought too, and not that all the shenanigans had anything to do with anything at the end of the game, but it is a nice look for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and one that's been missing over the course of the last 8 playoff rounds. And it's not has nothing to do with anything, and it's just a lot of goofy message sending for the next game. But
it's great.
Damn it, is it not a good look
it's
there?
It's great.
And led by Max, right?
Honestly, having the last minute take 10 minutes is what, like, every close first round playoff game should look like.
And it was going to take that long. It's nice that you got guys on the ice there that are pretty comfortable in that situation. Appreciate Robertson doing his best, but, like, hey, you know, McMahon's a big guy, Benoit, like, Carlo's big. Tomi throws a couple.
Oh, he got a nice uppercut in.
He did.
Right?
Ottawa, you could see in the last 10, you know, trying to, you know, extract that pound of flesh. There's a couple of hits by Klevin. You know, they're bigger guys that were chasing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the nice that they were able to have. It's great having Max in those moments for sure.
This is just the best. And you want this to be like this. You want the Battle of Ontario. I watched hype videos for 3 straight days about, like, Tucker and Travis Green, by the way, jumping into the Sens bench and, like, those battles and Chris Neal. You want it to look like this. You want these teams to hate each other. That's the whole point.
Yeah. It's the look. And that's why I'm kind of weary about sometimes, you know, some of these penalties, and just let the guys go. Like, the Leafs are in better position than they ever have been, you know, in the last 8 years to kind of handle this and work around it. And, like, this is the passion and the emotion that people want to see.
Yeah.
Don't over officiate here.
Let them play.
I mean, they over officiated and it still happened. So if they want to get the Leafs 6 power plays every game, I'm down with that.
Yeah, I know. McCabe,
by the way, speaking of guys you like having in those scrums, because he's not a bluffer.
No, but it's really, really good to have it start like that, just with the grease, and I'm sure Ottawa fans wouldn't love it, but
yeah,
they're upset.
You know, for the next game, I do feel like for Ottawa, you know, do they need to make changes? Like, can they convince themselves that, boy, 5-on-5, it was pretty good. If we don't take those penalties,
yeah,
we're all right.
I think they can.
They can convince themselves that.
I think they can play well enough to keep it close here.
Oh, yeah.
At 4-1, this is just, the game's over. I'm sorry, but with Stolarz, the game is locked.
Yeah, when it went 4-1,
they can, I think they're good enough to keep games close here, and then you just see where Allmark is.
I predicted Sens in 7. I think you guys did Sens in, oh, sorry, I did Sens, Leafs in 7.
I did 6.
I did Leafs in 7.
I still get the feeling that this is going to be a long series. They had moments where they played really, really well.
Ottawa's going to get a game here or there for sure.
But let me tell you.
Yeah. Who's Ottawa's best player last night? I'll tell you in 2 seconds.
Drake Batherson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy. Yeah. Absolutely.
He was
good.
Yeah. He was good.
Noticeable.
He was good. Even when Morgan scored, what was the score? 5-2 then?
That made a 5-2.
Yeah. And then a minute later, he's coming off a post and seems to have the far side wide open, and then Stolar's left leg comes out and just shuts it right down.
Batherson and Pinto, bright spots for them. Greg, too.
If the Leafs get the game tomorrow night, potentially, that game three in Ottawa.
Don't ruin our show tomorrow.
But just, we got 2 seconds here. A lot of Leaf fans, that could be a nightmare night for Sens fans.
Oh, boy.
All right, just like that. 1 hour done, 1 still to go as we go national. Luke Robitaille, Hockey Hall of Famer, president of the LA Kings, will help us tee up the Kings versus the Oilers.
Right.
And then John Michael Lyles, a former Toronto Maple Leafs, will give us his thoughts on Landeskog potentially in for game 2. Plenty more, including news out of Seattle, coming up when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.